habits come in all sizes. This is Dr. Herbert O'Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Habits come in all sizes. yes. We sometimes don't want to take responsibility for the habits that come in all sizes, and we don't want to take responsibility for them because we want to blame it on other people. We want to blame it on circumstances. We want to blame it on life, that these things are happening to us and that this world is taking place just the way it is taking place. As we were little children, our parents taught us values. Our parents taught us habits. Our parents taught us how to get along with the other children in the world, get along with ourselves, get along with the family. Our parents taught us how to understand and appreciate the people that we lived with in the world. The people that we met, the storekeepers, the teachers that we had, the mothers and fathers of our friends, and our own mothers and fathers. We were taught the values of family life, that our family is number one, and that we do everything in God's green earth to stand up behind our family and all the members of our family. No matter how terrible things might happen to a member of the family, we are back of them. We may not agree with what they've done or what they do, or we may not agree with how they've gotten themselves into a jam, but we are behind them. We are family. And this is a habit that we have developed. This is a habit that we can have. This is a habit that we do have. Now, are we going to always be subject to the habits that we built as child? As a child, we built habits that have stood us well in our growing up years, and then we changed them. We changed the habits, but did we ever change the habits? Do we have the habits that we grew up with? Did we have the habit of poverty? Did we have the habit of feeling that other people in the world were superior to us? Did we have the habit of feeling that we were superior to other people in the world? You know, it could be both ways. Did we have the habit of looking at the world and finding the clouds? Or do we look at the world and find the blue sky? Did we look at the world and find the joy and the happiness and the harmony that is all about us? It's all everywhere. Some families, they live in a charisma of peace and beauty and harmony and oneness and joy. Oh, yes, they do. And we look at them and we say, man, everything's always going right for them. Why is it that everything in their life just seems to be coming up roses? Why? Why doesn't that happen for me? It could happen for me too, because I'm just as much a human being as they are. Well, there's the rub. When we are human beings, then we are subject to our human world. When we are something greater than a human being, let's call ourselves a divine being, then we are unlimited. Then we have the world as our oyster. Everything is for us, whatever we put into it, however we think about it. Children who are brought up in harmonious and joyful families are harmonious and joyful children. Children who are brought up in families who have suffered a lot of slings and fortunes, of the arrows of misfortune of life, they sort of grow up with that attitude. And they think that this is the way life is. This is what they have learned to expect, and this is what they've experienced, and this is what life is. And, oh yeah, other people are lucky they don't have that. Well, you all are subject to what our past is. We all are. We all are subject to what our upbringing is, what our parents have taught us, the values that we've learned. We're all subject to, so to speak, the churches that we went to, where we learned how to like ourselves, where we learned how to realize that there is something greater in this world than we are, something greater than we have expressing. But you see, if we take that clue and we say there's something in this world that's greater than we are, then we're off on the wrong tangent. When we say there's something in this world that is greater than we have expressed, and we can express it too. It is within us to express all of the goodness and all of the magic and all of the wonder and all of the excitement that the world has to offer. But it's a matter of saying, that's our gift too. That's our expectation too. That's who we are. That's what life's all about. And truly, that is what life's all about. Where are our values? Where are our experiences? Where are the things that we've grown up with? Did we learn to like ourselves? Do we respect ourselves? You cannot like anybody else if you don't like yourself. And you cannot like yourself if you don't like everybody, because everybody is a reflection of you. And if you look at a reflection of you in the world and you see the ugliness that might be there, that's in you. Ooh, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? That sounds very undesirable. Well, it's the way it is. And there's nothing desirable or undesirable about any experience that anyone has in life. People in life like to think that their lot in life is whatever it is, good, bad, or indifferent. That's just the way it is. And truly, that's not the way it is. We at any time can put new causes in motion for ourselves, put a new program in motion for ourselves that is completely different from what we had experienced as a child. As a child, we may have grown up in a period of lack of abundance, in a period where things were tough, in a period where the whole world was going through a shift from one point of view to another. And as we were going up and growing up in that shift experience, we called ourselves the people of that experience, like the flower children and the children of the generation of who grew up with various attitudes. Well, look at the people who grew up in these various attitudes and think of what they've done. Have they remained in the attitude that they had where they felt that drugs are good and they wanted to use these things as excuses for not taking responsibility for their own thinking about themselves? Or do we want to say, hey, I've got a fresh slate standing before me every single day, a fresh slate. And on that slate or on that blackboard or on that sheet of paper, that pure piece of paper, I can write any story I want. And I can write a story that is totally different than what it is that I'm doing. Now, I sometimes say to my students here at the University of Healing, I say, there are maybe 100,000 students of the University of Healing who have studied with us in the past 30, 40 years that the school has been around, or longer than that, actually. And these 100,000 students are just all blossoming and growing and beautiful. Well, now, some of my staff will look at that and say, well, that's not so. We haven't got 100,000. My goodness, right? 100,000, we would just be, you know, fantastic. Well, that's true. But when you hear someone say, you have 100,000 students, and then you can say, that's a nice number. Yes, I can conceive of that, because the students that we have touch the lives of other people, and they become students by the very fact that their lives are touched, and this goes on and onto the television and onto the radio and onto the newspapers and onto the magazines and onto all of the other media that are reaching out, and all of these people, everyone becomes a student of that concept. Now, what is it to teach? Well, our parents were teachers, and they taught us their values. And the values that our parents taught us were taught to us. Now, we may have been an only child, or 5 or 6 children or 13 children or more. Some families are quite expensive. And just take 10 children. 10 children taking the values of their family and putting it into their families and the people's lives they touch and people who look at them and say, hey, where do you get such a beautiful idea? And they say, well, I got it from my parents and this is the values that I grew up with. But hey, that's cool. Or they may not even say it's cool. They may say, huh, if you can do it, I can do it too. You know, we're both living in the same world and experience and time frame, and why not, you know? And so then as we do that, we find that we are not limited by saying, oh, there's not 10 million people who are students. Oh, maybe it's 100 million. You know, maybe it's even greater. Or maybe it's only one or two. Maybe only one or two persons have taken the courses of the university and have benefited by it. Because, you know, just because everyone goes to music school doesn't mean everyone's a musician. But they can be. They can be. Everyone who has a parent, and the parent gives them values, and a parent gives them habits, they all take these habits and grow with them. Now, what is the beauty of this all? The beauty of this is that the parents are wonderful, and they give their children their wonderful values. Now, the children are wonderful too. But they take the values that they've been given and they add to them. They take these values and use them in new and wonderful circumstances, and they give them a new life. They give them a new direction, they give them a new empowerment. And these values then become grander and grander, and they grow. They grow, they become expeditious, they just grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And they began to meet the lives of other people. And your parents taught you some values, and you lived them and shared them with all in your life, and the people in your life took the values that you shared with them and put them to work in their life and however they felt they were valuable. And the values became the habits. They became the joy. Habits come in all sizes and all values. And it's up to us to take the values that we like the most, the habits that we like the most, the experiences that touch our life the best. Now, what experiences touch your life? What habits touch your life? What makes you feel supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? What makes you feel like flying to the moon? What makes you feel like singing your song all day long? What makes you feel like looking at the world and seeing it in the sunshine? And then you look at the world and you see it in the shadow and you say, oh, that's a new way of looking at it. But how glorious that is too. My goodness, yes, how wonderful that is. And you look at it in all seasons, winter, summer, spring, and fall. Glorious, one and all, so beautiful, so lovely. These are all habits. In all the sizes they come. Now, how are we going to respond to them? Well, I've taken the attitude that my mother had. Now, I have four brothers and sisters, and each has taken the attitude that our parents taught to us, and each has lived it just a little differently. But each has lived it in a very positive, uplifting, wonderful manner. Each one of us know who we are. Now, isn't it interesting that you can take a person who's born in a very wealthy family, and that person is natural for wealth. That wealth is just what he thinks and she thinks and they believe about themselves, and that's what they experience. And then they might go through a tough period where they lose everything. Like I like to tell the story of my dear friend in Corona del Mar. He had a lovely business, building contracting business. He made a lot of money. He was very good. And he had a beautiful 20-foot Viking sloop, and he said, I should use it whenever I wanted to. And I thought, how cool is that, you know? And I had the sails in the back of my car. Whenever I'd go sailing, I had them right there and could do it. Well, then he came upon hard times, and his business took a tumble, and he went right down to the bottom. He went right out of business and right out of everything. He lost his house. He lost everything. He had a big, beautiful house. He had a big, beautiful yard and big, beautiful family. Everything. He didn't lose the family and his wife. They were with him. But he lost everything, right to the bottom. So he started out at his bottom. Now, he was a wealthy man in his consciousness. And the bottom for him was a brand new T-Bird. He got a brand new T-Bird, not an ordinary Ford, but a Thunderbird, one of the classy, beautiful jobs. And then he got himself, instead of the Rolls Royce he had had, he got himself a brand new Cadillac for his wife. Now, how could he do that? I mean, he was at the bottom. Well, you see, what was his bottom? His bottom was pretty far up the line as far as a lot of people are concerned. And he had it. He had the wherewithal to enjoy those things. And then, though he lost his beautiful mansion, he went down the street, three or four houses in the same neighborhood and the same quality of house, and he rented another mansion just like his at a value that he could place in his budget. And he lived there until his business got back on his feet, and then he was flowing and going in all of the abundance that he knew. What is your level of competence? What is your habit level for yourself? Were you born in the Depression time and so you live Depression attitudes all your life? Or were you born in the Depression time and that was just an experience you went through? My neighbors who were born in the Depression time, they had everything and they didn't let it go. They just didn't have dollars. But the thing is, it wasn't long, because their consciousness was so. They remained in their beautiful homes. They remained in their beautiful businesses. They remained in all those things. And they rebuilt it out of the embers. And out it came like the phoenix, glorious and beautiful and abundant. And their names are legends today in the world, because they remained true to who they were. They were men and women of abundance. They were men and women of wealth. And they lived in the area of people who were of poverty. But people who were of poverty, even in wealthy times, even in abundance times, they experienced poverty. All because of the habits that they developed as they were growing up as children. All because of the habits that come in all sizes. And all because they chose to take the direction that was what we would call limited. Now, what size habit am I going to take for myself? Well, I'm going to take the habit of liking myself, of thinking this is a wonderful world, of thinking that every single person in this world is beautiful and good and very good. And so, though there may be people in this world who find it not good and very good, I do. I find it good and very good. Though there may be other people who find problems in the world, I find solutions, and I find joy. All is my choice out of the habitual thinking that I have for myself, and out of which habit I empower to be that which carries me on into my infinity. And this is what I live all the years of my life, and I am the happiest guy in the world. Join me in this wonderful awareness for yourself of being the happiest guy in the world, and everything will match up to that happiness. I love you. I love you. I love you.